18th, 2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the warm, sunny Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Their website, of course, is republicbroadcasting.org. View the guest lineup for this program at spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button on the left. Select the year, month, and day to see who's going to be on and who has been on, and the relevant links to their programs and other issues. Please also visit screeningsandyhook.net for my articles regarding Sandy Hook, psych drugs, and related topics. Also, please consider subscribing to SpingolaSpeaks.net, where one may listen to the audio files of my programs. RBN, of course, is another option with their archives, as well as Woolly's blog, and that's woollysblog.blogspot.com. If you appreciate the RBN programming, and I hope that you do, please consider donating to the network. You may do that in one of three ways. Just call 800-724-2719 or visit republicbroadcasting.org and click donate, or simply send donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. We invite you to join the commenters in the chat room, and you may do that by visiting spingola.chatango.com. If you have comments or questions during the program, please email them to comment@spingola.email. Yes, dot email. No more dot com. Alrighty, we will take calls in the third hour at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. The website that you'll want to visit is IrishHolocaust.org. IrishHolocaust.org. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Well, thank you so very much for joining me today. And we're actually neighbors. You're in the, well, we're neighbors. We live in adjacent communities. But we've never met, and we need to meet sometime.
We sure do, and I need to read your books. I see some reviews of them, and they really are just amazingly good, the reviews.
Oh, well, and thank you. Thank you so very much. And your book, I have it sitting right beside me here, Ireland, 1845 to 1850, The Perfect Holocaust and Who Kept It Perfect. And people may order your book, and I have links on the schedule page where they may order your book, and the book has a couple of foldouts. And, of course, the information that you have on your website is incredible. And so please, listeners, visit IrishHolocaust.org. And now, I'm sure that a lot of people have heard of what is referred to as the Irish famine. And Ireland had 9 million people at that time in 1845, and they produced enough food, and we're not talking just potatoes. We're talking every kind of food that you can think of. They produced all kinds of grains. They produced all kinds of meat products and pork and beef and all that, for enough for 18 million. And yet, people died because there wasn't enough to eat. And it's a terrible thing. And, of course, other people emigrated from Ireland. Didn't want to. A lot of people don't want to leave their homeland, but they do because of circumstances that are deliberately created to provoke emigration from homelands. Agree?
Yes, that's what happened. For a few hundred years, 97% of the land of Ireland and all of its fertile land was owned by English landlords. and that was the basis of the genocide. They claimed ownership of everything grown on that soil, no matter how much labor it required. They insisted that all that product belonged to them. That's why they used the army to move it out at gunpoint away from the people who had grown it and reaped it and harvested and sowed and everything else. And that was done in 1845 to 1850, long after such genocides had ended on Earth, so far as I know. Well, there was a later one, of course, with the Soviets and the Ukraine, and the Turks, the Ottoman Empire, and the Armenians, and I suppose the Chinese one later yet. So anyways, but however, we're trying to end a genocide as a government policy, and it's going to take some doing because many of our fellow Americans would just as soon wipe out entire populations right now as not. It's really shocking. And so my wife and I are putting up monuments over mass graves in Ireland. To this day, most of them are unmarked. Everyone knows where they are, but they're not marked. And people whisper about them. So there's definitely a cover-up from the very top down, and the local people are, again, they whisper about it. They don't plant flowers and put up signs saying mass grave here. They just leave it there and talk about it. They know it's wrong, but there's nothing they can do about it because the leaders of the government of Ireland are still in the control of the British government, and more recently, under the largely Israeli people of the neocons, the Israeli-based neocons, they now are running Ireland. And it's very, very sad because after centuries of on-and-off genocides, first genocide under Queen Elizabeth I, second one under Cromwell, and the third one under Victoria, it's a pity that the Irish people are allowing themselves to be put back under somebody else's yoke again. Right now, the people of Ireland, the taxpayers, owe 78 billion euro debts which they never created. These debts were made by the banksters who went into Ireland and made a lot of bad investments. And for some reason, the so-called Irish government made them whole, gave them 100% of their investments back, and transferred their losses onto the taxpayers of Ireland. It is the strangest thing. We've had something similar to that here in the States. But it just goes to show that the neocons are now running Earth.
how true. And as you say, that's true everywhere. That somehow the country's leaders engage in extremely expensive warfare, and then they transfer the responsibility for that warfare onto the population. And that, I think that's particularly true. And Doug Valentine explains it in his book, his most recent book, that somehow they have transferred responsibility for the warfare. And people now say, oh, we've got to support the troops. We've got to do this. We've got to wave our flags. We've got to sing our patriotic songs. We've got to support wounded warriors and all these other things. And yet, the people at large shouldn't be supporting this warfare at all because they don't know what the heck they're supporting. They seem to think, as Doug Valentine suggests, that the bombers, the people who are dropping all the bombs, 300 a day in the Middle East, that they somehow can specifically target just a group of people called terrorists, when in fact they are killing civilians. They are killing women, children, old people. They're killing everybody indiscriminately. And
but
it's
we're told,
okay.
We're, yes. We're
and
told
it just
that
makes
they
me
are,
so mad.
They're humanitarian bombs. See, our bombs are for good purposes. Their bombs are acts of terrorism.
Right, right. But we seem to be dropping more bombs than anybody. I mean, they're throwing rocks, and we're dropping bombs.
Yes.
Somehow that's incompatible comparisons.
So my wife and I, in any event, are putting memorials up over the mass graves. We're finding a little bit of opposition. And strangely enough, it's coming from the Catholic Church, even though the targets of that genocide were only Catholic. That's the native people of Ireland.
Right.
And the landlords, of course, all of them were Church of Ireland, which is the name they gave their Anglican church founded by King Henry VIII. And that was the state church of England and Ireland imposed upon the Irish people so that the entire population of Ireland, essentially 100% Catholic, were forced to tithe to the church of their landlords. And that went down for a few hundred. That went down for a few hundred years, and actually ended in 1869 with the abolition of the state church, the British state church in Ireland. So there are so many people of Irish descent in the United States who are made to feel ashamed of their ancestors, that they seem to have fallen in, their ancestors seem to have fallen into a lethal trap of their own making by growing only one failure-prone crop. That is a shocking, shocking lie. They grew an enormous abundance of food, and that food is listed on the manifests of ships removing it. It had been taken out of the country at gunpoint by the British Army, but the ship's manifests show exactly what was taken out, and that forms one of the chapters, one of the items of evidence in my book. And
yes,
it was surely enough to feed many, many millions of people, and landed in England and landed in the colonies. The slaves throughout the Caribbean of the English landlords were fed, those African slaves were fed with Irish food by people who were not as well nourished as the slaves. Because, you see, the Irish in Ireland were not property, the slaves were. So the slaves, it suited the owners of the slaves to treat them at least as well as they would a horse, while the people in Ireland, nobody owned them, and they were murderable at the will of the British government, and that's exactly what they did.
Sure, they were expendable. Yeah, I misquoted. Yes. There were 8 million people in 1841, and
well, that's low by at least one third.
Really?
Yes, there was a partial census taken by a few other census takers, and they found that was low by about a third. So the numbers, I think, the chapter 6 of my book is the murder toll, and that's about as good as it can be done, perhaps. And that would indicate that up to 6 million were murdered. My earlier calculation said it was 5.16 million. And so far as I know, that has not been improved on, but one cannot say absolutely this number of people died, because it's simply not provable. But however, we're getting the data from other sources, and at least we can find out how many hundreds of thousands or millions died just within workhouses alone.
When they
fled across the Atlantic to the United States and Canada, in a couple of those years, there was a 40% death rate among the shiploads crossing Ireland to Canada. If one includes the deaths that occurred within 1 month of arrival, they would arrive sick. You see, as one of the results of starvation, of course, is disease. So the majority of the people died of a disease that accompanied the malnutrition: cholera, smallpox, pneumonia, TB, the whole works.
Right.
One of the people who provided that figure that you just cited of 8.1-something million was the father of Oscar Wilde. He was honored by the British government for that specific census work of 1841-1851. And according to his figures, and these are the ruling figures, only 20,000 some hundred people died of what he calls famine. He was a promoter of the famine lie also. And his figures show that 21,000 people died of it, but there was a huge, according to him, there was a huge epidemic of all kinds of other diseases at the same time from which millions died.
Oh, sure.
So, but it's all a cover-up, and the British government made him a member of the British Empire, a commander of the British Empire, as a consequence of covering up their genocide in Ireland.
As a reward, yes.
Yes. Yes. In fact, he was told that at the time that he was given the award, he was told it was not so much, he was a medical doctor, that it's not so much because of his medical work that he was being honored, but because of his census work. And the census work was a cover-up of a genocide. And the cover-up seems to be essentially still prevailing. More people are still using the word famine than genocide or Holocaust. I use the word Holocaust because that's what was used by Michael David in his work, a survivor of it, and that was used by the Cork Examiner newspaper in 1847. They used the word Holocaust of humanity to describe what was going on. So Holocaust regarding Ireland has usage precedence, and the ethical selection of such words or labels precedent usage does make a difference, and that's what I've chosen to do. While genocide has become the generic label for such mass murders, that was coined by Raphael Lemkin
to promote
the Shoah. And no Irishman ever used the word genocide, but they did use the word Holocaust. So that's the word I use. There are very few labels or single words one can use. I also use a policy of extermination, which was used by a British bureaucrat in Ireland at the time. But it's three words, and we look for one word. And so I use, and the word, single word extermination suggests no survivors, so that's not quite apt.
Right.
Extirpation is not quite apt either, because is uprooting, not murdering. And so I use the word Holocaust. And I'm getting some complaints by people who say that that's owned by the Jews. And I say, it's a shame that the Irish didn't know that in 1845 when they started using it regarding what was being done in their own country.
Yeah, because the Jews didn't really start using it until they tried to use it in World War I. They were talking about, the poor Jews are being murdered and they're Holocausted.
It's like
and all
6 million. They were using the label 6 million for in World War I.
Yeah. And nobody believed it, so they did it again during World War II. But speaking of Jewish people, Lionel D. Rothschild and banker Thomas Baring and Samuel Jones Lloyd, a Manchester banker, met, and they formed this British Relief Association, and they established this to supposedly help the starving poor Irish peasants. And so they decided, let's ship them over to New York, because after all, the North is really suffering for labor. And so that's what they did. And as you said, a lot of them died on the way over because of the horrid conditions in the ships. I know I had... Oh, okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Your home has has hard water, then it's likely that LimeScale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate LimeScale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio. Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Deanna, and our guest today is Christopher Fogarty, F-O-G-A-R-T-Y. The website is IrishHolocaust.org, and his book is Ireland, 1845 to 1850, The Perfect Holocaust and Who Kept It Perfect. And today's program is dedicated to all of our Irish ancestors who were literally forced out of their country and who came over here and lived in rat-infested tenements created by the Astors and other ignoble people who had corporations that needed cheap labor. And heaven help you if you got your arm cut or something, you couldn't work for a couple of days, you'd be thrown out of the rat-infested tenement, and all of your resources, all of your goods were seized. So they had a heck of a situation. My ancestor came over before that, came over in the late 1700s, but this is a terrible situation, and my heart aches for the people that suffered. Chris, are you there?
Yes, yes. I am. It should be known by the world that genocide required more than half of the British Empire Army at the time to perpetrate. In order to get the food away from its producers, they brought in 67 regiments of the British Empire Army's total of 130 regiments, just slightly over half the British Army. And they were in Ireland removing the food at gunpoint. So the talk of famine should be erased from the minds of everyone on earth regarding Ireland.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I suppose the British people were cheering on, you know, let's support the soldiers. And I mean, how would you feel if you had put all that work into growing and doing all the labor and then having it taken from you by gunpoint?
Exactly. Now, I must say, I'm sure that there are just as many jingoistic people in England as there are currently in the United States, but one Englishman, and a member of Parliament, member of the State Church of Britain of England, the Anglican Church, visited Ireland, and he said that if the people of England only knew what their government was doing in Ireland, that they would not permit it. So he claimed that it was a failure to inform. It was a keeping things in the dark that makes the difference. And I'm of the opinion also that most genocides are not doable. They're not perpetratable except in the dark. You have to keep the people in the dark.
Sure. And you do that by controlling the media. And,
yes.
And certainly if the media, if the mainstream media actually showed the pictures of little dead children in Syria, and if they actually showed the devastation in the countries that have been totally destroyed. I mean, we're talking infrastructure, we're talking culture, we're talking everything destroyed. Would they still be waving their darn flags and saying, let's support the troops? I don't think so.
No. No, I must say, had I remained, I'm retired now, and had I remained working, and had I not been doing my grandfather's biography, which caused me to go to the public record office and queue outside London and find this whole story, I would be like the majority of people. I would be a flag-waving, proud American. I served in the U.S. Army, and I didn't see anything particularly wrong at the time. But I must say, the country perhaps has become politically and officially more criminal since it became an empire than what it was when it was a republic. And I've learned a whole lot more. I'm now more acutely aware that our founding fathers were nearly all slave owners, and somehow that didn't register with me earlier. Maybe as we get older, we absorb a little more information. I'm not really sure, but having been free of 8 hours work plus travel time, and I spent many of my years working overseas, which left me learning other kinds of things and being cut out of the American loop, I didn't quite get the full story until retirement. And what one learns with a little more attention and a little more varied news sources, we can do a 180 in what we're led to believe. People who depend upon talk radio during commuter hours, during rush hour, are specifically disinformed. Whatever they think they're learning, it's almost certainly the opposite.
Sure. All righty, we're going to go to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Christopher Fogarty, and the website that you will want to visit is irishholocaust.org. And you mentioned that that you thought that because you were retired, you had more time to look into things, but you also have to figure in the government schools that most of us went to, the distracting entertainment, the militaristic-centered sports events that are so distracting, and quite frankly, when you work for a corporation, where which a lot of people do, you are a wage slave. You're really probably worse off than the African slaves were, because at least when they got too old to work, they weren't kicked out and they still had their plot of ground and their log cabin and whatnot, and so people are very busy. However, it's a deliberate concealment of what the government is doing, and you mentioned that. And so it is very difficult. And when people are so busy just trying to put food on the table, it's kind of difficult to keep up on things. But I can't believe that people don't see and don't question. Even when I was young, I questioned so many things. I thought, well, why are they passing this abortion law? What's wrong with the Supreme Court that they think it's okay to murder children? You have to you have to question at some point. You have to wake up and say, what the heck is going on? But sometimes we just don't do that. But you did. And when you did discover something was amiss, boy, you went right out there. You gave all your time. You went and traveled and found out. You wrote a book. You're doing something about what you know. And I applaud you for that, Chris. I think it's just terrific. And you're doing it for the Irish. You're not doing this to make money. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do, and you're doing it for your people.
Yes, I must say, I feel I should be doing the same thing for the Palestinians. And Mary and I have spent 11 years with the group here in Chicago looking for justice for the Palestinians. And it is so desperately sad. Here we are, my wife and I, putting monuments over the victims of a past genocide while we're living through a slow-moving genocide of the Palestinians today. And
exactly.
our entire government is in favor of it, because when one sees that the greatest number of standing ovations of the U.S. Congress, both houses of the U.S. Congress, was not for an American hero, not for an American past president, not for a scientist, someone who saved lives, not for a philanthropist or spiritual leader. It was for a criminal, the head of the criminal government of Israel. And that is what our government, supposedly our government, has done. And our ex-senator, state of Illinois, Kirk, claimed that he went into politics to work for Israel. This is all shocking stuff.
Then he should just move to Israel and work over there and stop being a hypocrite here. I'm really ticked off with all this. I really, you know, when I start talking about these things, I just get so angry about it, because it's just so darn wrong. It's murder. It's inhumane. It's slaughter. It's every bad thing you could name.
Yes.
And in
Ireland today, this is hard to believe, but the Irish government have a bill in the hopper as we speak. They'll be working on it during the coming week, and it is setting aside naming a date for what they call the Famine Commemoration Day. The National Famine Commemoration Day of Ireland, bill, and they're heading for some date in May. Now, for the last going on 30 years, there has been a date that has been commemorated across the world: United States, Ireland, England, Scotland, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, Singapore, and where the those who were murdered, the 5.2 million people who were murdered in 1845, 1850, are commemorated. And that is commemorated on November the 3rd. That day of commemoration is November the 3rd. Because on November the 3rd, 1845, a delegation of Irish men went into the Viceroy's castle in Phoenix Park, Dublin, the head of the British government in Ireland. And they begged him to stop the food removal, and as a secondary request, to stop all brewing and all distilling to save grain for the people. He pretended not to hear them, ignored their requests, and read to them from a paper about potatoes and blight, which he poo-pooed, indicating there was no blight, not to worry about it. So for that reason, two things. He triggered two events on that date, on November 3rd, 1845. One event was the official beginning of the Irish Holocaust, and the second event was the beginning of the Big Lie Famine label for the crime being perpetrated. And we were taught famine in school in Ireland. I was taught famine in school on both sides of the Atlantic. The Marist brother, a wonderful, committed, dedicated teacher who taught us all in Castlereagh, County Roscommon, was asked a few years ago, you call it genocide today, but why, and seeing that you do call it genocide today, why did you teach us all famine? And his reply was, to his eternal disgrace and to that of the nation, was, I had no choice. I had to teach the curriculum as provided to me by the government. So he taught a lie about a genocide his whole life.
Wow.
And he blamed the government for that lie. The burden is certainly shared by that government, but it indicates that the Irish people are not yet free, and they certainly were not free at the time that they were teaching the children that it was a potato famine. Because again, potato famine suggests cause of death, stupidity, terminal stupidity. They fell into a lethal trap of their own making by growing only one failure-prone crop.
Right.
Well, the flow of food out of the country, and what the 67 regiments plus the militia, 37,000 militia troops, and 12,900 constables had nothing to do in Ireland but remove that food at gunpoint. The police used to start the food removal. When they ran into trouble, they would summon the militia. They were the landlords, private armies. And when the two forces together were not successful, and that was often, the army was called in, and the army never failed to remove the food from its growers, and they starved to death. And that way, over 5 million people were murdered. But the Irish government today wants to resurrect the lie of famine. It's hard to believe. So I wrote to them, to the TDs, the Tánaiste Dáils, parliamentarians. The subject bill is shocking and raises very serious questions. Why are some in Ireland's government planning an annual famine commemoration day when Ireland's consciences, such as George Bernard Shaw, have always railed against that old discredited lie of famine? Is Ireland's government unique on earth in concealing a genocide of its own people? A Marist brother, after a lifetime of otherwise exemplary teaching in County Roscommon, was asked by ex-pupils, quote, if you now admit it was genocide, why did you teach us all famine, unquote? His shocking, unacceptable reply, quote, I had no choice, I had to teach the curriculum as presented to me by the government, unquote. We hope
or lose his job.
Exactly. And get the church into disrepute. We hope Ireland's government doesn't further impugn itself by establishing a meaningless date to, quote, commemorate, quote, unquote, a lie, a, quote, famine, unquote, that was actually a genocide. There already is a commemoration date truthfully commemorating the actual event. For the past 3 decades, November 3rd has been Irish Holocaust on Thor Moor in Irish. Commemoration Day in Ireland, the U.S., Canada, Argentina, England, Scotland, Australia, New Zealand. There is a reason. On November 3rd, 1845, a 22-man delegation of Irishmen visited British Lord Heytesbury at his Viceregal Lodge in Phoenix Park. They notified the Lord that people were beginning to starve to death and urged him to stop the food removal and to halt all brewing and distilling to save grain for human consumption. The Lord ignored their pleas and read to them from a paper about potatoes and blight, casting doubt upon the latter before showing them the door. Heytesbury thus triggered two historic events. One, the official start of the Holocaust, referred to as such in the Cork Examiner and by Michael Davitt and other writers, and to the official start of the famine lie. The reality of the Holocaust on Thor Moor is that it took more than half of the British Army to perpetrate it. Of Britain's entire army of 130 regiments, 67 regiments were deployed to wrest Ireland's abundant livestock, grains, dairy, and poultry products away from their producers to the ports for export, thus filling many hundreds of mass graves across Ireland. Ireland's landlords, then English, and with the clout to deploy Britain's armed forces, were later bought out by the Crown and departed Ireland in 1900-1910. Because my wife and I oppose genocide, we install monuments over those scandalously unmarked, derelict mass graves. All of the evidence of genocide is contained in my, quote, Ireland 1845-1850, the perfect Holocaust, and who kept it, quote, perfect, unquote. A glimpse of its contents can be seen in my decades-old www.irishholocaust.org. Click on its map to enlarge it. I've received replies from a few politicians, but not many, but they're going to go ahead and try to keep the old famine lie going. You'd wonder, what other nation would do that? Would American, Native American, the Indians, would they try to promote the idea of famine? or the Indians dying of terminal stupidity. What other nation would cover up a genocide of their own people? The Armenians are certainly not doing it. The Ukrainians are not doing it. The Chinese are not doing it. And for some reason, some fatal flaw in the Irish people, that they somehow they are always led by people who are seeking to benefit whoever bribes them, benefit somebody out in another country, not their own people.
Well, it's interesting too, though, that you said that basically Ireland is occupied to this day.
Yes.
And it's the occupiers who really design what's going on. They're the ones that create the curriculum for the schools and tell the teachers what to teach. So the Irish, they are under occupation, just as Germany is still under occupation, just as many countries are under occupation. And it's a very sad thing. And you're right. I mentioned yesterday to a very feisty Irish friend of mine, I mentioned the word famine. And she corrected me, rightfully so. She said, no, it was genocide. And I know it was deliberate. I think, okay, it was deliberate famine. But no, it was what it is. It was a genocide. It was deliberate. It was cruel. It was everything that you've said.
Well, that woman is familiar with my work then, because until my work got out, there was only one word, famine. Famine was the word I had for it.
Sure,
yes, indeed, always, yes. But, you know, the corruption that starts in England, maybe Israel, but starts in England for certain, is a corruption that pervades Irish academia. No Irish history professor dare tell the truth about what went down in Ireland. One did peripherally told a few truths just 2 years ago and received zero peer reviews of his work, so that he almost lost his livelihood. And he told me, I've got small children. I had to do it. Yeah. But he said, what I am doing, I'm teaching my best students the truth covertly in the hope that they will become teachers and professors in a few more years.
Sure.
That's the best I can do now. But meanwhile, sure, the same corruption has spread to here. For a few years, back some years, a team from University of Illinois in Southern Illinois, University of Southern Illinois, were over in Ireland at a destroyed village. They excavated the village in order to learn what they could about it. The village of Ballykilcline on the Pakenham Mahon Estate outside Strokestown, in County Roscommon. By the way, the Pakenham owner was the family of General Edward Pakenham, who died in the attack on New Orleans in January 1815. You know, but down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Sure.
Well, he was a British. So he was the British general who was actually an English landlord in Ireland, or a son of an English landlord in Ireland. And General Ross from Ross Trevor in County Down was the general of the British Army who burnt Washington, and he died the evening of when the Star Spangled Banner was written at the Battle of Baltimore. So another landlord. So the notion that somehow the Irish government are trying to say that it was the rich Irish starving the poor Irish. But they were all English, and they all went back to England between 1900 and 1910.
Sure.
But
sure,
a problem that remained in Ireland is that though the land claimers all went away, and the land was divided up among its cultivated, the people of Ireland, the bankers and the English bankers, insurance companies, stock brokerages, newspapers, publishers, they remained in Ireland. And they became the problem. That's why Ireland is not free today.
Yes, there was a couple of questions in the chat room that I wanted to address. We also have a caller. Although we usually like to take callers in the third hour, we'll go ahead and take Bill in New Jersey. But I do want to ask these questions from the chat room. But let's say hi to Bill. Bill, you have a question?
Yes. My question is, how did they make the police officers and the army guys actually go and shoot the people and take their food and do that for their own brothers and sisters who they must have known? And, you know, how did that happen? How did they force that to happen with those fellas?
They were English.
They used the English army on the Irish people. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and the constables. The constables were all of the officers were English. They were from England. And there was a smattering of Irish among them, but they lacked the courage to stand up. In any event, they often failed to take the food from the people. And so that's when the British Army would come in and finish the job.
All righty. It wasn't the Irish. Okay, thank you very much. Good job, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite. A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Christopher Fogarty, and his website is IrishHolocaust.org. Please visit that website. Look at the links, look at the maps, look at everything that there is there, and you'll be astonished. And please, please share the items with your family and friends. A gentleman in the chat room said, I would be interested to know more about the people who were living in what would become Northern Ireland at the time of the Holocaust. And again, he says, if only the IRA hadn't burnt the library records, we would know so much more about who was who. Otherwise, surnames are the only clue to my ancestors who lived in the north, and the surnames Kelly, McCartney, McKillop, etc. are all Irish names with a long history in Ireland. And that's true. Irish research, family history research is very difficult because of the burning of the records. Same as the South, the Confederate South, or the, not, well, yeah, they burned all the records, so it's pretty difficult to do research in certain places where everything is burnt. But could you address this?
It's important to know that they were burned when Republicans were on the inside of it, and they were shelled from the outside by British forces, including Michael Collins. So you can hardly blame the IRA for the burning of records that were burned as a result of shell fire from outside by British-directed forces. In fact, a regiment of artillery was sent overnight down from Enniskillen from in the north and down, and they shelled the forecourts. But further on this matter of the police in Ireland, they were founded by Robert Peel, P-E-E-L. He founded the police in Ireland first and then in England. And in England, they were unarmed and they were called bobbies and liked. In Ireland, the same British force, but of police in Ireland, were called peelers, and a term of opprobrium. And in Ireland, they carried carbines and, if mounted, also a brace of pistols, if mounted. They were a completely different force. And so there was a world of difference there. Now, I must admit, the one man who thought they might have been all Irish, I can understand why anyone would think that the police force would be of the nation in which they're located. Up to 40% of the constabulary in Ireland at the time were Irish-born and should have known better. But they were all led by all of the officer ranks, all of the commanding command was by English-born people, so it was a British-controlled. The constabulary were Britain's eyes and ears in Ireland. I must admit that I have a first cousin once removed, Luke Finnegan, who was shot dead by the IRA in Thurles in 1920. So I have people on both sides of that situation. I must say, and when he died, his brothers, he had a few brothers in the RI, Royal Irish Constabulary also, and they quit. But they didn't quit until the one brother was killed. So I have a relative who was on the side of the traitors also.
Wow. All righty, we're at the top of the first hour. We will be back in 3 minutes.
For you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Get the I Can Get 2. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.